This is HPR episode 2799 entitled Building an Arduino Programmer and is part of the series Arduino and Related Devices. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio and is about 20 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, turn an Arduino Nano into a programmer.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here. I'm out from under my rock. It's springtime here in Northwest Ohio, and I thought I'd throw together another show. And I want to tell you how I turned an Arduino Nano board into a dedicated programmer for Arduinos and for any other kind of AVR chip you might have out there. Motivation for doing the show was Ken Fallon's bootletter episode on HPR 2660. I've burned many bootloaders. I've done the wiring it up from one Arduino to another, and I thought, these little boards being so cheap, it'd be kind of cool to have a dedicated programmer built out of one of these things. For years, I've used a USB Tiny programmer from Adafruit, and I still have it, but this thing I thought would be kind of cool. It's got a lot more LEDs, and I just thought that putting together a program would be a good learning experience anyway. I still use the Arduino platform. I like it. It's easy to check out new pieces of hardware. So let's say you've got a project and you want to try a new breakout board. It's easy to throw a sketch together and kind of understand how the thing works before you might move on to something more efficient than programming it in the Arduino C++ kind of language that they use. Of course, the Arduino boards themselves are cheap. They're easy to find, and they're pretty robust. They take a lot of misuse and still keep running. I also had a need to run Arduino boards at lower frequencies. They run at 16 megahertz, and the chip is available, the Atmega 328 chip at least, is available to run up to 20 megahertz. And it also can be run down to very low speeds, and it has all kinds of other timer options that are kind of interesting and could lead to more efficient battery use and things like that. So I actually been working on a data logger that would need to run at a lower frequency. And so I write those kind of programs outside of the Arduino environment in C. Atmel was nice enough to or at least people around, maybe from the open source community, were able to put together compilers and a whole tool chain that's open source, unlike some other microcontrollers out there. We have to pay for the compiler and things like that. So from a hobbyist, it's really kind of nice. But it's still fun to be able to prototype something on an Arduino board before you move on and make your own PCBs and things like that. So Arduino is still very useful. So if you're interested in doing this project, I'm going to tell you some of the things you're going to need. It may not be exhaustive, but it's the ones I've thought about the most here. You'll need the Arduino IDE. You can get that from your distro's repository. I won't go about how to install that. If you use Slackware like you ought to, in the Slack builds, if you search for Arduino, you'll see two entries, one with a capital A and one with a little a. I use the one with the little a. It just repackages the binaries and puts them on your system. I had a little trouble. I couldn't get the other one to build, and I already had the other tool chain set aside. And I'm not sure if that conflicted. But anyway, I got the the Arduino with the little A to work on my software box. You might get AVR Dude. Again, install that. That's the program that uploads, that takes your hex file and runs it through the programmer and puts it on your board. It could be useful if you want to just test out your programmer outside of the Arduino environment. If you're thinking about moving on to just compiling stuff using your own make files and things like that. I'll get into the caveat later. Just to hear what you need. You'll need an Arduino Nano clone, and you want to. I put a picture in the show notes. I found these unassembled. I think I got four for about $15, pretty cheap, delivered. And you definitely want one that's unassembled with no pin headers soldered in. And what you're looking for is a board that has this 2x3 unpopulated pin header on the one end. And so if you're not sure, just kind of compare it between the official, wherever you might find it, eBay or whatever. Compare those pictures with what's on the Arduino.cc website and make sure it's the same kind of board, you know, the clone of that board. And make sure it's a Nano, an Arduino Nano, not a Pro Mini. I put on some the optional LEDs, so if you want those, get some LEDs. You need three of them. 3 millimeter size is or smaller is better. If you do that, you'll need 3 resistors, 200 ohm or so, not really critical, but you want them to be physically small, as small as you can get. You'll need a 5 to 10 microfarad electrolytic capacitor. You'll a 3 to 4 inch long jumper wire, a 2x3 female header. If you buy one of these unpopulated board, they usually have the pin headers with the kit. You'll need a 2x3 female version of, you're not going to use the 2x3 male version that usually comes with the device that you buy. You need something to cut wires and strip wires, and you'll need soldering supplies. All right, now on to the build. First, you probably want to upload some kind of sketch to your Nano board just to make sure it does have a bootloader. If it doesn't, then you're going to have to go back to episode 2660 and figure out how to do that. I just uploaded the Arduino ISP program in the examples, which is under File, Examples. It's 11, Arduino ISP, and then select Arduino ISP, and then you can upload that sketch to your board just to make sure that it works. The next thing that I did was I soldered on the LEDs. Now I changed where I put the LEDs. That's easy to do. Just modify, pull it up here. You modify the heartbeat. You modify the where the pins are, and it's under the defines, LED, HB, LED, air, and LED pin mode. I just changed the numbers from there. Start out as 987, and I switched them to 975, and that's just purely because there's more space on the board to solder in the LEDs. Started by soldering the anode leg to the appropriate digital pin on the board. The anode on the LED is usually the longer leg, so I soldered that in. I put some pictures there in the show notes too, before and after. Soldered that in. I bent the other leg around, the cathode leg around, and then I added a resistor to the cathode leg, and then soldered the end of the resistor to a ground pin. I started out on pin 9 and did that, and you can actually test each LED before you move on to the next LED. All you need to do is modify the sketch. So for the first one, if you start with pin 9, it'll just work. When you add power, you'll see the LED just pulsing slowly, and that means that the program's working just fine. Then you can as you put on each board, you can change those pins, re-upload the sketch, and then check to see that that LED is flashing. It just makes sure that lets you know that your LEDs were soldered in correctly. The next thing I did was I took that jumper wire and I cut the end off of it, one end of it off. And what you do is I ran the wire, the end you just cut off through, there's a little hole on the one far end of the board, at least there was on mine. I put it through there as kind of a strain relief, and then ran the wire back to pin 10 and soldered it there. Again, there's pictures in the show notes for that. And you definitely want it to be, 3 or 4 inches long at least, so that it has, so it can reach across the length of the board that you might be using. Okay, the next thing you want to solder on is the capacitor. Things to watch out for there is that the capacitor has polarity, so you want to make sure that you put the positive leg into the reset pin hole and the negative into the ground. And I think all the nano boards have a reset on the other side. They have reset pins on the left and the right side of the board. I used the one on the opposite side of the LEDs just because there was more space there. Either one works fine. Before you solder that pin header in, though, you want to remove the southwest connector. That's the, I put a little picture here in the show notes too. Don't attach, pull, if you take your pair of pliers and pull on the piece of copper that's hanging out on that pin, which is the reset pin, just pull it right out of there, because you only want to solder up the 5 remaining pins. You don't want to have reset connected. That's, reset is the wire that you soldered in earlier. And so just remove that pin, and so you'll only end up soldering 5 out of 6 pins on that 6-pin header. All right, so once you've got all that done, how do you use it? Start by plugging a USB cable into the programmer and into your computer. And then you want to start the Arduino IDE, and you want to plug the programmer onto the target board and put the wire, that reset wire, into put that reset wire into the reset pin of your target board. And then in your tools folder of your IDE, make sure that you have the correct port selected for your programmer, whatever that is. On mine, it's tools port /dev/TTY USB 0, can be 1, 2, whatever your USB port it ends up, or device driver that it ends up being on. Not sure if that's the right term. And then in this program selection, select Arduino as an ISP, not Arduino ISP. That's under Tools, Programmer, Arduino as ISP. That's to select your programmer. That's in the Tools menu. And then you can, at that point, make sure that once you have got all that set, you can upload a program to your board. So you might take the Blink program, and then you want to go and make sure that you've got the right type of target board. For me, it was an Arduino Uno. And then here's where you do something slightly different. Don't hit that arrow button that's on the very front of the Arduino IDE. You want to go up to Sketch, bring that menu down, and then you'll see Upload Using a Programmer. And when you, so Upload Using a Programmer, select that. You should see the lights all flash on your newly built programmer. And then you should see your board start to blink if you're successful. You can also, if you want to, just check the functionality of your programmer at the command line. If you don't want to do that, you can just go to pull up a bash prompt, and then if you've installed AVR Dude, you type in AVR Dude-P M328P. That's the kind of chip. If you're using an Arduino Uno, -C, which is the type of programmer, which is Arduino, -P, which is the port you're using, whatever that might be. Again, it's, for me, it was /dev/TTY USB 0. And then this is important, the baud rate, dash B, 19,200, 19,200. If you hit that, you'll get an output that'll say AVR device is ready to initialize and accept instructions. You'll see a reading kind of progress sign go by. It'll tell you the device signature. It'll take you the fuse, tell you what the fuses are set to, and then it'll say you're done. All right, so things to look out for. Of course, with any of these USB devices, you might have permissions issues. If you go to the Arch Wiki or the Gentoo Wiki, you'll probably be able to figure out how to write a UDEV rule that will help you be able to use the programmer as just a regular user and not as root. One thing to note is if you select upload using a programmer, it will overwrite your bootloader on your Arduino. Just be careful with that. If you want to preserve your bootloader, you cannot. You right now, at least as far as I can tell, you can't upload using the programmer. One thing I found too is some of the IDE boards text, some of the fuse. So there's a text file in the Arduino IDE software that helps with the uploading. It's a script for the uploading of the program, and they burn fuses at the same time that they upload the program. I'm not sure why they would want to do that, but they do. And some of those fuses selections for some of their 8 megahertz chips are incorrect. So especially if you're running a chip at without an external crystal, and you upload using the Arduino IDE, and you select the wrong board, you can make the board non-responsive until you hook up a crystal to it. There's ways to fix that, but I won't go into that there. Just something to look out for, and if you're not sure, just read about it and figure it out. You won't damage the chip. You'll have to add a crystal to it to get it back up and functioning. Another thing is, it turns out that AVR Dude version 6.2 won't work with this programmer. It gives some kind of I/O error. So if you need to use version 6.3 or 6.1, but definitely not 6.2. And then I said earlier, but the baud rate's critically important. If you don't set the baud rate, it won't work. Also, that capacitor on the programming board itself, it's required. If you don't put that in, it definitely won't work. But when you do install that, you no longer can upload programs to that board unless you actually act as the reset. You have to physically hit the reset button to get it to upload right as the Arduino IDE gets done compiling. Can be done, but it's just tricky. So my conclusions for the project: uploading via an in-circuit serial programmer versus the USB serial. The advantages of the in-circuit serial programming is that you can just program the device from the command line. If you use the USB serial port and the bootloader, it can be done from the command line too, but it does take up some of your available flash memory space in the device itself. So you lose some available programming space if you have a bootloader. And then I started to think as I was doing this, why would I need a bootloader actually for a device like this? And I guess it's just for convenience. It allows you to just have one wire hooked up to the device and do all your programming and serial communications and everything via just the one USB port, which is definitely convenient. But you might need that 500 bytes of programming space if you write a big program, something that's really using all the resources of the device might be necessary. I think it's a real challenge to programming these little devices. A lot of people I've seen use Raspberry Pis to do stuff that an Arduino can do, or even funnier is when they take a Raspberry Pi and they dongle hang off a an Arduino, and they're just using the Raspberry Pi almost like like a desktop to run the device. And it's that there's all kinds of solutions to all kinds of problems, but I just find it an interesting solution sometimes that seem to be more complex than they need to. Somebody once told me that if you need to do one or two things in a project, maybe a microcontroller is the way you want to go, an Arduino or something like that. And if you do have to do many things, logging or and multiple interfaces and many sensors, maybe that's the time to go to one of these Linux single board computers like a Raspberry Pi. Anyway, I hope this was interesting, informative. If you have any questions, go ahead and email me. If you build one yourself and have any problems or learn something new, maybe you'll make do an episode. Or if you think it's if you want to talk more about microcontrollers, do an episode about that too. Thanks for listening. It's Brian in Ohio signing out.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.